All right, Manitoba, welcome back to another episode, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you're having a wonderful day as always. Real fast, Manitoba, like, share, subscribe, do all the good stuff that helps out the show, especially sharing. It really does help with that algorithm. All right, Manitoba. Sometimes when you, it seems just like two things align perfectly. Like when everything's falling apart, and then you come across an article that just kind of sums everything up. And it really lets you know why things are falling apart. I find this so fucking hilarious. Take a look at this. Millennials now make up the largest portion of the population in Manitoba. Millennials are now the largest generation by population in Manitoba, and the province as a whole is the second youngest in Canada. As Statistics Canada released new age data for the entire country, which shows as of July 1st, 2023, which shows 2023, the millennial generation makes up a greater number of the country's population compared to the baby boomers. That trend is also seen in Manitoba, which is the second youngest province of the country, with an average age of 39.3 years. Alberta leads the country with an average age of 39.1. Fertility has contributed to having a younger population, and also immigration over the past few years has also contributed to Manitoba having a younger age. While baby boomers are still the second largest population throughout Canada, they've actually dipped to third in Manitoba. Millennials and then Gen Z are ahead of baby boomers, while Gen X is fourth in Manitoba. So I'm just going to say it, Manitoba, like I said, man, when everything's falling apart and you wonder why, maybe it's because our province is being run by millennials. I don't know, I'm just saying. But either way, let's take a look at what's happening around the province. From CTV News, bizarre this year, River Trail closed following mild winter. So once again, Mother Nature, Mother Nature shows her unpredictability, and we just keep getting such mild weather. And I'm not complaining. I personally love it. I'm sure a lot of winter activity enthusiasts are hating it. But I'll just read on. The river trail at the Forks is officially closed for the winter, marking the shortest season in history. On Wednesday, the Forks announced that the Nestaway River Trail is now closed following multiple closures and reopenings throughout the season. Quote, last year we were open for 72 days, and so far this year to be such a short stint of two short stints that were open is really sad, said Zach Peters, the marketing and communications manager with the Forks. We've all sort of recognized that this weather has been bizarre this year. This warm start to winter, this freeze-thaw cycle we've been under, end quote. CTV News Winnipeg previously reported the popular trail was impacted this year by Mother Nature, including the challenge of warm temperatures, rain, snow, and higher water levels. So the Forks noted that the trail was only open for two short stints this year, from January 25th to January 30th. And February 13th to 17th, totaling 9 full days. This is the shortest river trail season ever, excluding the winter of 2020 when it didn't open at all. And just so you guys know, the previous shorter season was in 2017 when it was open for 33 days. This year also marks the latest opening date for the trail, which was January 25th, and the earliest it's been shut down. It has become something that we at the Forks take pride in. We know our city does. We know individuals do. The hardworking River Trail crew certainly does. So year over year, to only have it grow and do it better is what we're trying to achieve. And this is just simply wasn't in the card, said Peters. Okay, so the Forks said it's no longer monitoring or maintaining any portions of the ice. Winnipeggers are being reminded to stay off the rivers. If weather permits, the on-land skating trails at the Winnipeg 150 Winter Park will remain open. All right. Okay, so this is like the our province, our city is falling apart, Manitoba, and we have to start investing in infrastructure. I mean, we keep kicking the can down the road, and it's going to lead to more problems like this. And this is huge. Every liter counts. City pleads for Winnipeggers to limit water use as massive sewage spill continues. City asked 90,000 customers in Winnipeg to reduce use after sewage pipe in Red River broke February 7th. The city of Winnipeg wants some 90,000 residents and businesses in the southwest area of the city to know that every little bit of water they can keep from flowing into the sewer system helps after a pipe crossing under the Red River near Fort Garry Bridge broke 2 weeks ago. Every liter counts, Tim Shanks, the city's water and waste director, told reporters at City Hall on Wednesday. Anything you could do to reduce the water coming through to your house is going and going down the drain will help us on the other end. On Tuesday, the city asked residents and businesses in St. Norbert, Fort Richmond, Richmond West, Waverly West, Bridgewater, Linden Woods, Linden Ridge, White Ridge, Waverly Heights, and at the University of Manitoba to take shorter showers, hold off on washing their cars, and take other steps to lower their water usage. The plea came nearly 2 weeks after one of the two pipes that crossed underneath the Red River near the Fort Garry Bridge, which carries sewage to the South End Sewage Treatment Plant, started leaking, spilling about 228 million liters of untreated wastewater into the river as of Wednesday at midnight, Shank said. It is very important to everybody involved to try to get this resolved as soon as possible. The city found issues with both pipes, each built in 1970, during a regular inspection last November, and took one out of service. The remaining pipe was in, quote, rough condition, but it was believed to be capable of carrying the sewage by itself. Guess not. In December, the city started ordering pipes, specialized pumps, and other equipment for a bypass system. Work on that system began on February 5th. However, a working pipe failed on February 7th, sooner than the city expected it to, Shank said. It's a very hard technical thing to do, to try and put an exact date on when a pipe's going to fail, he said. This failed before we were able to plan for its replacement. The city had sped up its work on the bypass system, and through it's been running since February 17th. It's not fully complete. One of two pumps needed for the system is running. The other pump needed to be retested after crews found issues with it last week. The one working pump doesn't have the capacity to keep up with all the sewage flow that's coming across the river. So the problem is, during peak hours when sewage flow is at its highest, the temporary pump is not keeping up, Shank said, leading the city to ask residents in the southwest to reduce the flow by cutting back water use. The city is continuing work on the bypass system, which runs above ground over the Fort Garry Bridge. Crews expect to get the second pump working by the end of the week. Once fully operational, it's hoped that the system will run until the city can build a permanent replacement under the river, which could take up to 2 years. He said this is the first time he can recall pleading with so many customers to limit their water use other than during floods. Quote, it's certainly a large volume event and very concerning to us. Southwest Winnipeg resident Millis Saylor said he didn't even know the city had asked residents to cut back their water use until a CBC reporter told him about it during an interview outside his home Wednesday. Manitoba, side note, I would like to say I didn't know that. I live in St. Norbert and I had no friggin' idea about any of this, and I pay attention to the news quite a bit. So they did a horrible job letting people know. The impact of the spill go far beyond city limits. As the river carries the sewage north to Lake Winnipeg, the lake is already overloaded with nutrients from upriver and Winnipeg Beach. Mayor Pam Jackson worries the spill will make matters worse. Quote, it's so upsetting, it's so concerning, this should not be happening, our lake is at risk anyways, and to have this kind of raw sewage pouring into it is just not okay, Jackson told Radio Noon guest host Corey Funk in an interview on Wednesday. So, province is investigating spill. Installing a new pump system is complicated, Shank said. The city is working with permanent infrastructure that isn't built to accommodate the new system, which crews are trying to shoehorn in. Okay, well, that's not giving me much confidence in the matter. You know what I mean? Like, is this going to be a short-term fix? The city could be fined by the province for the spill, Shank said. Interesting. I mean, it's all taxpayer money, so it doesn't really matter, but... So, we got this sewage system failing, and also, Manitoba Hydro's Genpeg station offline for 9 days and counting. So, like, we also got, failure throughout the province. It's not just in the city of Winnipeg. No power for now coming from Nelson River Generation Station. One of Manitoba's hydro generating stations on the Nelson River is not currently producing any power due to an ongoing series of tests and inspections. Hydro took all 6 turbines at its Genpeg station offline on February 11th, Hydro spokesperson Bruce Owen said in a statement Wednesday. A repair to one of those turbines in January revealed that it was in worse condition than workers expected, leading Hydro to take all 6 out of service this month. Quote, out of an abundance of caution, Owen said. Based on its condition, a decision was made to take all generating units offline to allow for a more comprehensive inspection and testing of each unit, he said. Once the results of the inspection and testing are complete, we'll have a better understanding of the needed repairs. We're currently working to restore generators that we find in good operating condition once inspections and testings are complete. The Genpeg station, completed in 1979, has the capacity to generate 115 megawatts of electricity. That works out to roughly 2% of Hydro's overall capacity of 6,100 megawatts. Hydro is producing less power than its capacity this winter due to lower than average flows on several rivers with generating stations, a situation sparked by drought conditions across the Lake Winnipeg watershed. So, I mean, that doesn't help to have any station offline with the already drought that we're in. So, who are we going to listen to? With all this stuff, and especially with Hydro, it feels like Manitoba's gambling already when we're dealing with Hydro and the NDP government, because I don't think they have a very good past. Plummeting Hydro into massive debt when they were in power before Pallister was. But this is I find interesting and odd timings. Manitoba Hydro punts CEO 2 weeks after criticism from NDP minister. Manitoba Hydro has parted ways with its CEO 2 weeks after the NDP cabinet minister in charge of the Crown Corporation criticized her plans to purchase wind power from private sources. So right away they came out and claimed that... they claim that that NDP is not even looking at private at all. Everything power related is going to be under the public sector. So because her outspokenness, 2 weeks later she gets the boot, and now it's like, do we take her word for it, the CEO of Hydro, or do we take Canoe's word for it, a newly elected premier? Canoe dismisses warnings about looming capacity crunch at Manitoba Hydro. I just want to say, Manitoba, I really don't want to gamble on Hydro again. I think Manitoba went through this. Premier says utility has tons of megawatts for new industrial customers. Premier Wab Canoe says the province has enough electricity to serve large new industrial customers in spite of warnings from Manitoba Hydro about a looming capacity crunch and the need to generate more power. Canoe said Wednesday Manitoba Hydro will be able to serve the needs of large energy-intensive businesses considering developments in Manitoba over the next 3 to 5 years. Quote, we're looking at a lot of serious economic development projects, including some large-scale manufacturing opportunities, as well as the housing needs that we all know we need to continue to build, Canoe said in a telephone interview. Quote, we have the hydroelectric capacity to meet those needs this year, next year, and the coming years. In a September 2023 briefing, note obtained by CBC News, Manitoba Hydro warned the former PC government it was already being forced to choose among 57 proposals to use large volumes of electricity, including 17 projects well past the initial study phase. Manitoba Hydro is unable to offer firm commitments to prospective customers that may align with Manitoba's energy roadmap and or provincial economic development objectives, Hydro warned in a note, explaining it is legally obliged to serve all existing customers who need more electricity. As such, Manitoba Hydro cannot reserve electric supply for particular projects. Hydro said in the note, its near-term surplus electricity supply is so limited, a single energy-intensive connection may consume all remaining electrical capacity. When asked last week how this might affect Canadian Premium Sand's plan to build a solar glass manufacturing plant in Selkirk, the Premier said there's no capacity crunch. Quote, we have tons of megawatts of clean, low-carbon hydroelectricity in Manitoba, and it's going to power our economic advantage for generations to come, Canoe said on Friday during an unrelated press conference. Manitoba Hydro spokesperson Bruce Owen suggested in a statement the briefing note did not refer to the solar glass plant in Selkirk or a proposal to build an electric car battery manufacturing facility in Winnipeg. Hydro has enough capacity to service both projects. Okay, so Manitoba Hydro has also made separate warnings about the need to ramp up its capacity to generate electricity. In an energy roadmap issued in July, Hydro said it needs to double or nearly triple its generating capacity from nearly 6,100 megawatts to 10,000 to 16,000 megawatts by the 2040s in order to meet a growing demand for electricity. Hydro planned to accomplish this feat by partnering up with private wind farms and relying on natural gas power to some extent over the next 15 years. Then in January, Hydro CEO Jay Grewal told Winnipeg Chamber of Commerce audience Hydro may hit a capacity wall by 2029. So 2 weeks later, Hydro's NDP-appointed board dismissed Grewal, who was hired by a PC-appointed board. New Hydro Board Chair Ben Graham and Manitoba Finance Minister Adrian Sala said at the time her departure had nothing to do with the difference of opinion with the NDP government over private wind farms or the continued use of natural gas. Nonetheless, Graham and Sala said Hydro will find ways to ramp up generating capacity through fully public means. Canoe doubled down on this statement on Wednesday, but would not say what his government will do if Hydro determines it would be less expensive to purchase power from private wind farms. Quote, that's all hypothetical, Canoe said. The Premier said he's confident Hydro can find ways to keep rates down while it builds up generating capacity, as well as new transmission lines to carry electricity, a project expected to cost in the tens of billions. Canoe said this could also be accomplished without significantly adding to Hydro's debt, which already stands at $24.6 billion. Side note, most of that, almost all that debt is under the PC government, but it's from the dams that they just built. So no matter who was in charge, it had to be done. Manitobans are learning that this, PC Hydro critic Grant Jackson said this is impossible. Manitobans are learning that this NDP premier thinks that he knows better than experts. We are quickly running out of grid power and the NDP ripped up Hydro's strategic plan while firing the CEO. The Spruce Woods MLA said in a statement. Canoe said his government will rely on some work Hydro has already undertaken, but said Manitoba will pursue a carbon-free energy policy that will make this province more attractive to European and Asian markets. We are definitely going to put our own plan at the forefront, which is to lean into what our advantage globally at this moment. Veteran political observer Paul Thomas said the NDP government has made conditions challenging for Manitoba Hydro. Quote, the new NDP board will almost have to start from scratch in terms of developing a strategic plan which aligned with the thinking of the NDP government, said Thomas, professor emeritus of political studies at the U of M. Quote, the difficult task will have to begin at the same time There is a search for a new CEO. Okay, so, and this is coming from Hydro projecting a big loss. So, Manitoba Hydro projects 190 million loss this year, up 29 million from previous projection. So, I think when the PCs, just before they left office, or just when the NDP took over office, they were saying that there's going to be 160 million deficit this year, and now it's going up to 190 million. So, but keep in mind this number, Manitoba NDP is refusing to look to the private sector. So, like PCs point out, how is the government going to accomplish ramping up all this power and ramping up the power grid and not going private but not yet increasing rates? When the NDP was trying to get elected, they kept saying there's going to be a hydro rate freeze, hydro rate freeze. They made it seem like it was going to happen right away, but now they're saying it's going to happen before we leave office. That's the new promise. So, I mean, fixing bail, no. So, fixing bail, no. Hydro rate freeze, no. Fixing healthcare, no. Like, why the fuck did we elect the NDP? So, things seem to be, like I said, it's falling apart on the infrastructure side, and we're falling apart culturally, because Manitobans is just under a heat wave of violence right now. It's not good, and it seems to all coincide with when the NDP got elected in the province. And like I started the show out, Manitoba, is it a coincidence that this province is filled with fucking millennials? Big problem. So some good news, though. There is a little bit of good news coming out of Manitoba. Manitoba, Ottawa putting up $60 million for Churchill Railway upgrades, port redevelopment. Something that should have been done a long time ago. The only thing is, Manitoba, this could have been done to export, like, Alberta's oil and tar, I believe it was. But with the NDP government, they're not going to let any of that be shipped out of Churchill. It's going to be green, 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 green. And we all know green's bullshit. So the province and the federal government are committing $60 million to enhance the railway to northern Manitoba and Canada's only rail-accessible deep-water port on Arctic waters. Manitoba Premier Wab Kanu and Federal Northern Affairs Minister Dan Vandel said will be in Churchill to make the announcement on Friday morning. The two levels of government will each contribute $30 million to improve the Hudson Bay Railway, which is the northern Manitoba community's only land link to the south, and begin redevelopment of the Port of Churchill, a government source confirmed. CBC is not naming the person because they were not authorized to speak on the matter. So, obviously, Wob wanted to drop that news tomorrow, and someone jumped the gun. The money will be used to finish capital upgrades to the rail line, which has endured lengthy service disruptions over the years, and handle operating and maintenance costs. Funding will also be available to support the next stages of the port's development, which includes exploring any future export partnerships. The government source wouldn't commit on what commodities might be involved in those partnerships, but there's been talk of shipping hydrogen, which Kanu has championed. Yeah, there'll be nothing coming out of Ottawa, Alberta. Some politicians, including federal conservative leader Pierre Poilievre and Alberta Premier Danielle Smith, have also touted transporting oil through Churchill, but it has been denounced by environmentalists. There you go. When we have a commodity to export, no, Canada will not do it. The funding will also support the expected growth of the railway and connected port, the source confirmed. For example, the Arctic Gateway Group, a partnership of dozens of First Nations and Bayline communities that owns and operates the rail line, reached an agreement late last year to ship up to 20,000 tons of zinc concentrate mined by Hud Bay. Arctic Gateway said in a news release that it would build storage facilities to hold onto the material before it was loaded onto international vessels. Other opportunities for the railway and port include the arrival of more cruise ships and a twice weekly freight service launching this year to help supply food and fuel communities like those in Nunavut's Kivalakik region. Kivalliq region, the source said. The funding support to be announced Friday is in addition to $133 million promised by the province and feds in 2022 to upgrade the rail line. The federal government had prior to this week put a total of more than $215 million toward railway improvements. The land link to the south privatized after the federal government sold the Canadian National Railway in 1995 runs through remote boggy terrain and has been prone to defects cutting off northern communities from each other. The previous U.S.-based owner stopped running trains to Churchill for around 18 months after the railway line was badly damaged by flooding in 2017. Under former Premier Pallister, the province did not provide any financial support to repair the rail line once the Arctic Gateway ownership group took over. Stephenson, who succeeded Pallister as the PC party leader and premier in 2021, changed course by contributing more than $70 million toward the project. Canoe Vandel and Arctic Gateway chairperson Mike Spence, who is also the mayor of Churchill, weren't available Wednesday to speak before the official announcement. The premier said publicly he sees Manitoba with access to Hudson Bay as a maritime province with untapped economic potential. Vandel, the minister responsible for northern affairs, has called the all-weather rail line the backbone of northern Manitoba, and said it is vital to maintain national and global interests. The previous Manitoba PC government explored the idea of building another deep water port off Hudson Bay as part of a plan to ship potash from Saskatchewan and petroleum products from Alberta across the Arctic Ocean. One day before the start of a pre-election blackout on government spending announcements last summer, the province committed $6.7 million for a feasibility study on the proposal called the Nees-Danan project. Manitoba's funding pledge was contingent on Alberta and Saskatchewan covering the remainder of the $26 million study cost. Nees-Danan said in a news release last month that phase one of the feasibility study was underway but didn't provide any more details. The company wasn't available for comment. So, some good news. And Manitoba, this next article is very funny. This sums up Winnipeg to a T. I mean, if the quote, "We just want people to pay their tickets. Winnipeg looking to recoup parking fines with new program." We have our politicians literally begging Winnipeggers to pay their tickets. They want their money. This just sums up Winnipeg so much. Winnipeggers are so cheap, they don't even pay their parking tickets. The city of Winnipeg is cracking down on drivers with unpaid parking tickets. According to a spokesperson, there are 7,204 people with three or more outstanding tickets, equating to $3.2 million owed. The city is around $11 to $12 million at any given time of outstanding parking tickets. The Public Works Committee Chair Janice Lukes, quote, "That's a problem." To help curb the cost, the city launched a new program on February 15th that targeted reoccurring offenders. Under the new policy, if you have three or more unpaid parking tickets and are parked illegally, the city can now tow your vehicle. In order to get your car back, you'll have to pay the towing fee and the illegal parking fine, but not the outstanding tickets. Right now, the city can't put the parking ticket money on the tax bill, Luke said. According to Luke, the city is working with the province to find a way to include the fines in people's property taxes. "We do that with other things," Luke said. "If the grass is too long, property owners don't cut the grass. The city has to come out and cut the private homeowner's grass. We could bill a portion of that to their tax bill." CTV News reached out to the provincial government but was told it didn't have anything to say as the problem is a city bylaw. One expert said he isn't surprised the city is taking this route to recoup funds. Quote, "When we have a situation where you've got a high percentage of people not paying tickets, we've got to find a way to collect those," said Gino DiStasio, an urban geography professor at U of W. But DiStasio noted something should be in place for those with a lower income who need their car but can't pay the towing fee. The hammer of Towing the car and impounding it is the real last resort if an individual can't make other kinds of alternatives, he said. A spokesperson for Manitoba Public Insurance said the Provincial Offences Act wouldn't apply in any case related to the city's new program. Therefore, the driver's license and or vehicle registration would not be impacted. Luke said the city just wants people to pay their tickets. The city said since notices were sent out, those with three or more unpaid tickets in early January, more than 600 people have paid up, adding to a combined total of $169,000. So while the city wants you to pay up, Manitobans want a little break of their own. Doubt it's going to happen, but it's worth the ask. Unfortunately, it would have happened if we voted properly, but we're surrounded by socialists. Majority of Manitobans want gas tax break to be extended, according to a poll. Again, who takes these polls? I don't fucking know. But and also, reading the article, you find out there's only 400 people that did take the poll. So, I mean, and second of all, it blows me away that it's not 100% of Manitobans, but either way. I'll read. A new poll by taxpayer advocacy group shows the province's fuel tax holiday is popular with Manitobans, and that a majority of residents want it to continue for an additional 6 months. Why only 6 months? On Wednesday, the Canadian Taxpayer Federation, CTF, released a ledger poll which found 77% of Manitobans want to extend the tax break, which removed the 14 cents provincial tax on gas for 6 months. The numbers are clear. More than three quarters of Manitobans want the government to keep the gas more affordable, said George Howbridge, the Prairie Director for CTF. Drivers have been saving money at the pumps for almost 2 months, and we don't want to see those savings disappear. The online poll, which surveyed 400 adult Manitoba residents, also asked respondents whether they support getting rid of the fuel tax altogether, with 71% saying they do. According to the CTF, a two-vehicle family that fills up a sedan once a week and a minivan every 2 weeks will save at least $342 over the six-month gas tax break. If it's extended another 6 months, it will save the family $684. CTV News Winnipeg reported on Tuesday that the Manitoba government announced that the province has the lowest inflation rate in the country, largely due to the gas tax holiday, according to Laguerre. As this was an online poll, no margin of error can be associated with it, calls a non-probability sample. Okay, so yeah. Bottom line, Manitoba wants our money, and we don't have it to give. So right in front of our eyes, we are going to see the fall of Manitoba. But Manitoba, I was going to go over one more article, but it seems like I'm at the 30-minute mark, so I guess I'll just wrap it up there. But Manitoba, for those who are still watching, the big ask of today would be go to Rumble. If you guys have Rumble, if not, download Rumble. But go to Rumble and follow me on Rumble. I'm trying to build up some sort of community there in case I do get banned from Facebook, which I do believe will happen eventually. So Rumble or YouTube, go and just subscribe. And then if you're not on Facebook, there's still a way to keep in touch. But either way, Manitoba, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode. Love you guys. Manitoba Freethinker Podcast on Facebook and YouTube and Rumble. And if you want to follow me on Twitter and TikTok, that's MB Freethinker. But either way, Manitoba, love you guys so much, and I'll catch you guys in the next one. Bye.